August the 24th, 1903. The flames of the funeral pyre are rendered all but invisible by the brilliance of the afternoon sun. A consummation of fire and light. The air drenched in the sweet smell of sandalwood and the sharp stench of burning flesh. The Hindus cast their dead upon the sacred waters of the Ganges, convinced that by so doing, their passage to heaven is made effortless and swift. I watched the great brown swirl of the river and considered the journey upon which we are about to embark. Not in death as pagans, but as Christians in the fullness of life, and not carried to the sea, but marching to the north, to the Himalayas and beyond, to the secret kingdom of Tibet. I, Major James Pearson, a traveler with conscience clear, with luggage purposefully chosen, my destination certain, my faith secure.
Journeys to the Frontier by Matthew Solon, with Peter Jeffrey as Major James Pearson, Janet Moore as Laura, and Jack Shepherd as Philip.
Philip, turn it off. Please, your nearest. Oh, for goodness sake. Philip? Philip, where are you? I don't like being there.
At home?
I keep thinking that every noise I hear is Philip.
Sorry, this place isn't up to much.
You could have stayed with us.
I don't like to be a nuisance.
You are Philip's brother.
Yes. Been coming to this hotel for 20 years. Coffee's as bad now as it was then.
It is rather. What time's your flight?
Not long to go, I'm afraid. Time and tired.
What?
And aeroplanes. Wait for no man. Sorry. Had Philip come to bed at all?
When?
Well, the night he went. Or had he got up before the alarm went off without you noticing?
I went to bed early. I was tired. He said he'd be up soon, and when I woke up, he wasn't there.
Did he leave a message, a note of any kind?
What was this on the hall table?
Oh, our old friend Major Pearson.
I thought Philip had given you the whole diary on the night your mother died.
The least said about that night, the better. Well, yes, he did. All except this. I, Major James Pearson, a traveller with conscience clear, with luggage purposefully chosen, my destination certain, my faith secure. It's rather lyrical at times, huh, Major James?
I don't think the prose style really matters.
No. I just wondered why Philip underlined that particular...
He took nothing with him. Every suitcase, every holdall, every bag is still at home.
Laura, I could try and get my leave extended, get on a later flight.
It's my problem. He's my husband, after all.
When Mother was dying, perhaps Philip felt it more than any of us. Perhaps that's why he behaved as he did. He loved her. Well, of course he did, but I mean, him being a doctor, all that skill, watching her suffer and knowing there's nothing he could do. Perhaps that unsettled him.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
You'd better go.
Yes. Oh, Philip will find his place. He'll land on his feet, is what I mean. We Pearsons always do. It's a family trait. Look, I'll ring this evening.
James! James!
Robert, how very good to see you.
Just got in.
Yes, how about you?
Been here a week. Chaos. Quite splendid.
Hey, not there.
Sorry, son.
Green for clothing, blue for equipment. Boxes marked green to the green pile.
Blue to the blue, sir. Yes, sir.
Direct. Carry on. What would you say, James? Do goggles count as clothing or equipment?
Goggles?
Green tinted glass, 10,000 pairs, snow blinders for the prevention of.
10,000?
One for each and every Gurkha, Gunner, Medic, Fusilier, Bengal, Sapper, Sikh, Pioneer, Madras,
oh,
Sapper.
Stop it, Robert.
3,000 men at arms.
How you keep it all in your head?
And 7,000 followers.
I shall never understand.
Keeping it on the coolies' backs. That's the problem. No, they're a splendid bunch. Bhutanese, Garwalis, Nepalese, God. How I love all this.
Love what exactly?
Starting out. Packing up and setting off. Best bit of all.
Yes, I suppose it is.
Captain Gipper.
Sir.
Over there by the engine sheds. Awful rumpus.
Sir.
Sort it out. There's a good chap.
Yes, sir.
Listen, boy. Father's an earl.
Oh, really?
Not a cat in hell's chance of the title. Got four brothers, all older than him.
See.
10,000 woolen vest.
Sorry?
With matching drawers. Ever wondered what that might look like?
Well, no.
A glance to your left, it shall be revealed.
Good Lord.
That other pile's the balaclava hat. Going to be damn chilly.
Report on rumpus, sir. 3 subalterns.
Regiment?
Fusilier.
Typical.
Jostling a native class.
But why?
Failure to salaam, sir.
Damn fools. Nice little country to invade, and all they can think of doing is joshing some poor bloody Esquiller. Major Pearson, this is Captain Gifford.
Oh, good morning, Captain Gifford.
Morning, sir.
Major Pearson is Royal Engineers, Chief Survey Officer. So call on him if you lose your way. Look at that. Honestly, they'd put dynamite in the oven to keep it dry. Corporal! Corporal Singh!
Yes, sir!
Your first time here, Captain Gifford?
10 months in Delhi, sir. First time up here.
Oh, silly girl, is hardly up here. Barely 400 feet above sea level.
You'd be the best judge of that, sir.
Your deference to expert knowledge does you credit. But one has only to look north to place one's being up here in perspective.
Himalayas, sir.
Yes, indeed. Well, carry on, Captain.
Sir, railway refreshment room is open, sir.
Yes, rather striking that, don't you think?
Not entirely, sir. I mean to say there are lots of us. I dare say they're doing a roaring trade.
No, I mean that it's the last one. Last railway refreshment room before we climb onto the roof of the world.
Just as you say, sir.
Good, is it?
How is she?
Entertaining.
Oh, rubbish, since you ask. Well?
Asleep. Won't last the night.
Shouldn't one of us...
Laura's with her.
I don't think she recognised me.
The drugs. They're very potent.
Still, one ought to be here. Times like this, a family has to...
Show the flag, rally round.
Oh, don't let's fight, Philip. It's hardly the thing.
I've been looking through her papers.
That's a bit much.
Her grandfather kept a journal, did you know?
Rifling through her things before she's even...
Yes?
Well, what of it? Her grandfather kept a journal.
Keep your voice down, old chap.
Killed in India before the Great War, am I right?
Tibet. It's here. Oh, go on. Take it.
I don't feel it's my place to...
To read it? One soldier speaking to another across the years? Entirely opposite, I would have thought. No? Well, I'll chuck it then.
Oh, for goodness sake.
A change of heart.
No right to treat a family possession in that way.
You'll read it?
Yes. Is this how you behave on those committees of yours?
What do you mean?
Balshy. Bloody-minded and wholly objectionable.
Drink.
Please.
Top brass decided they could spare you.
Compassionate leave.
Then back to the front line of freedom to keep the Red Menace at bay.
Exactly so.
You believe it. You really do.
Of course. Just as I'm sure you believe in the work that you do. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going up to see how Mother is.
See how she is? She's dying.
Quite so.
Oh, that's magnificent. quite magnificent. Captain Gifford.
Sir.
Your opinion of this rather splendid valley?
Well, it occurred to me, sir, what an excellent location it was for a golf course.
Golf course?
Well, yes. The links spread out as far as that spur of the foothills, 18th hole by that pool where those nomad chaps have got their tents, and the clubhouse and bar are tucked in over there in front of that copse of trees.
Yes.
Just a thought, sir.
Carry on, Captain Gifford.
November 14th, 1903. As we ascend the great staircase of the Himalayas and exchange semi-tropical forest for alpine pastures, so too we leave behind the denizens of foothills and fertile valleys and observe instead the Mongolian race, which in its features approximates to the large Asiatic ape, the orangutan. Yes. Harriet, my dear wife, have no fear. The boy will settle in, I promise. The first term is always the worst. But before long, he'll have learned the ways of the school, and what seemed in those first weeks a strange and hostile world will become as familiar and comfortable as his own home. He'll find his place. It will not be easy or achieved without effort, but then nothing worthwhile ever is. Hugo will meet the challenge. He is a Pearson, after all.
Do you think she's in any pain?
No.
Rather an awful sound. She always said that if you looked into the lives of people who died in accidents or who got cancer, that there'd always be some reason. There was always something there that would explain.
Explain?
Why they'd been chosen.
Oh, you mean something they'd done wrong?
Yes. Horrid notion. I wonder what she'd have to say on the subject now.
She never really believed it was terminal. She wasn't going to get better.
Arguing with Mother was something I gave up very early on. Do you know, she once tried to convince me that the slave trade was in fact the responsibility of tribal chiefs in Africa.
What?
Yeah, apparently they'd sell their people to the Arab traders, and so therefore it was their fault. Extraordinary. Wouldn't be budged. I lost my temper. Punched the kitchen door. Terrible temper then. Door was all right. Good solid door. Couldn't use my right hand for a week afterwards.
She could be very decided about things.
Funny. How one begins to use the past tense before it's really time. She could be gentle, though. Oh, yes. Soft as muck, as she used to say. Suppose we all have our blind spots. Philip was always the favourite. Is he all right, by the way?
How do you mean?
Oh, talk of the devil.
Hello, Philip.
Oh, sorry. Shouldn't really mention him, should we?
Mention who?
The devil. Funny. How commonplace words can suddenly sound... sorry, look, I'll leave you two.
We two?
Well, you and Laura. Oh. And Mother. I'll be downstairs.
Sit down, Philip. It'll seem strange, won't it, having this room again? I think we should get Mr. Puttick in. Redecorate, start afresh.
She should have died in hospital. It's tidier.
You can't blame her wanting to be here.
Do you think she was ever unfaithful?
Philip... When all this is over, let's go away, have a holiday, be somewhere else for a while. I'm sure it would do us good.
Do you?
Are you trying to make some kind of point?
A body. Skin and bones. And a skull full of drugs.
Now the summer's coming, we'll be more relaxed. We can turn off the heating, leave the windows open.
It occurred to me why I dread going into work. To the patients. All the awful people. Shabby little bodies waiting to be seen
and
to.
And the garden. I'd love to get the garden looking really alive.
Stupid
again.
Faces wanting reassurance. Please, doctor, I've got this pain. You go to bed if you like. I'll keep Mother company.
I'll be downstairs.
Not your fault, Mum. None of it. Poor old face. Be on your way soon, won't you?
The place is ramshackle and unspeakably dirty. But thanks be to God, the enemy had no stomach for battle, and the old fort fell into our hands without a shot being fired. Come in.
Yeah, Colonel's compliments, sir.
Close the door. He's a good chap.
Sorry, sir. He'd be obliged if you'd call him after a valley, sir.
Yes, of course. Is something wrong?
No, sir. Well, just this beastly wind. Rather a bore.
The Tibetans reserve a special punishment in hell for those who complain of the weather.
What might that be, sir?
A torrent of molten metal is poured down the victim's throat.
I say, that's a bit extreme.
Well, we're a long way from England now. Is there anything else, Captain Gifford?
Hope I'm not stepping out of line, sir, but I know you've written, well, books. And I was wondering if you could possibly give me a few tips.
Tips?
Thing is, I was rather a dunce at school, famous for it. But if I got something into print, well, Pater would jolly well have to see me in a different light.
What sort of thing do you have in mind?
A sort of journal. Well, as a matter of fact, I brought some first attempts with me. Nothing really polished yet, of course.
Yes. Well, why don't you find a page you're reasonably happy with and read it to me?
Aloud? Well, yes, of course. First attempts, as I think I said.
Yes.
Night fell over the serried peaks of this mystery-shrouded land, a land of secrets kept long by unsmiling priests in their saffron robes and many corridored monasteries. Tommy Atkins, ever ready with a cheery jest, lay down his weary head for a rest well-deserved. And I, too, my mind full of thoughts of the forbidden city, and of what unguessed-at marvels, what savage splendours, what opulent riches, what...
Captain Gifford,
I wasn't sure about many corridored. What do you think, sir?
Well, is it what you feel? Are the words prompted by what you see before your eyes?
What I was aiming at, sir, was a certain gravitas.
Gravitas?
With just a touch of dry urbanity. Perhaps I haven't quite brought it all.
Well, my tip is this. Don't aim for anything. The point of writing is to bring your reader closer to reality, not to distance him from it. An informed mind and an honest heart. That's all you need.
I say, sir, that's rather good. May I make a note of that?
Your own mind and your own heart. No one else's mind. Do you know why we're here?
Keep the Russians out, sir.
In part, yes. If Tibet falls into the Russian orbit, India would be at risk.
Can't have that, sir.
Oh, indeed. Our duty is to protect the empire, but equally important, it is to bring the light of civilization to a backward and barbarous people.
They are rather, sir. Must be said.
Oh, superstition, devil worship, a corrupt and greedy priesthood. We are here to show by force of example a better way.
I think my father would approve of that, sir.
Yes. Yeah. Well, bring me more of your work soon. I shall be most interested.
Thank you, sir, very much. There's just one thing. How the devil do they all manage to be so cheerful? I mean, you'd think with all those greedy priests and evil superstitions, not to mention this beastly wind, they'd be gloomy, but not a bit of it.
The ignorant are often happy. And we must pity them in their happiness because they do not see the truth.
for God's sake, Philip.
He's trying to lighten the mood.
Turn it off! Your own mother.
Oh, I see. You mean it wouldn't be so bad if it was somebody else's mother? It's ownership that makes the difference.
You can go so far.
A good firm grip on the lapels, followed by what? A punch?
What the hell's the matter with you?
Congratulations.
What?
On your self-control. Not punching me. I'm impressed.
Is it so much to ask? You behave like a decent human being just for one night.
So you're reading Major Pearson. How are you getting on with the dear old...
What the bloody hell does it matter? How... Look, you may be in trouble. You may be hitting the bottle or screwing your secretary.
Such a rich imagination.
But tonight I don't care. That woman, my mother, is going to die in peace.
You may have thought, reading as far as you have, that he's like you, but he's not. Not a...
Is that understood? Is it?
The last time you slapped me...
Sorry.
I was 11.
Rotten thing to do.
I'd lost your football quite unintentionally. Sorry, John, not quite myself.
We shouldn't really be talking up here, should we? She might wake up.
No danger. Waking the dead is not amongst my skills. Or even the almost dead.
Oh, Philip. Oh, Philip, I do dislike you when you...
I'll be down soon.
All right.
Sorry, Mum.
Hello?
Richard, it's me.
Hi. How's things? How are you?
Tired.
How's she?
Asleep. Hope to God it's soon.
Yes. Laura, I can still book a ticket.
Oh, Richard, please try to understand. How can I possibly pack a bag and fly off with you? How can I? Oh, Richard.
Why should you suffer? She's not your mother.
You've no idea what it's been like living here. Oh, Philip's impossible. I want to help. He knows I want to help, but he won't let me.
Makes two of you.
What does?
I want to help you, and you won't let me.
Oh, I can't think while this is going on. It's too difficult. Can't you see that?
Laura, I don't want to sound cruel, but it doesn't have to be. Decide what you want and then take it. Easiest thing there is.
It's all right for you.
Why do people say that? As though not being in a mess was some kind of sin.
I meant that you're free and I'm not.
It's all right for me because I've made damn sure it's all right for me. It's a question of taking responsibility.
For what?
For your own happiness. What else is there?
Richard, is there someone with you?
I've got some friends round.
Some friends?
For a drink.
Not very good at being alone, are you?
I'll call you later.
No, please don't. Oh.
Oh, only me. Had a bit of a wash, freshen up.
Oh, good. I was just going to make...
Not Mary, was it? On the phone, only she said she might call.
Oh, no, it was someone else.
James? All right.
Shh. Look.
Where?
That bough over the gully.
There he goes.
Red chuff.
Like a robin.
Yeah. Only one with heart enough to sing.
Oh, too bloody cold. Yep. Chandra's dead.
Chandra?
Post clerk. Sat down for too long, cramped the circulation.
Oh, dear.
Gangrene.
Oh, that is bad.
Always said sitting at a desk all day was a dangerous business. Mm. Ghastly bloody country. Oil in the Maxims froze yesterday. Tea turns too ice if you don't down it double quick. Oh, ghastly.
You know, that's what reassures me.
Sorry?
That we must be right, don't you feel?
Right about what exactly?
I mean, take the troops from the plains, the Kashmiris. Hot as hell down there, huh? Never in their lives before seen a fall of snow. Yet here they are, 13,000 feet up, 40 degrees below freezing, surrounded by the stuff. 3 months under canvas in the dead of winter and not a murmur of discontent, let alone rebellion.
They know what they'd get if they tried that.
No, it's not just done by discipline. There's a moral force at work. We must be right.
Or mad.
The only madness is to give in.
Sorry?
And that I most certainly have not done.
Of course not. You're an officer.
Each day, without fail, my records have been completed.
James, there's no need to defend yourself to me.
For instance, my survey work.
Last night I checked my calculations, as I always do. And you know, I placed Mount in D6, abode of the Caring Spirit, as they call it here, almost 400 yards north of its true position.
Yeah, remarkable.
I mean, empires are not built by heroic acts alone. Oh, no. Ceaseless and constant diligence. My record of flora and fauna, of geological features, weather conditions, wind speed, precipitation, cloud formation, soil composition. And every day,
James,
at 12 noon, I jump up and down precisely 25 times.
Never like to mention it, but I've often seen you do that.
To measure my pulse, don't you see? The effect of altitude on the cardiovascular system.
Ah! Jolly good. You sure you've...
Order. That's the thing, Robert. Order. Meticulous and unchanging.
I see what you mean. Weather will be turning soon.
Yeah. I've rather taken Captain Gifford under my wing. I think he's learning.
We can push on. Get a crack at the enemy. Plays on a man's nerves, stuck in one place. This damned cold. You'll feel better once we're underway.
Oh, no. I feel splendid. Absolutely.
Harriet, my dear wife, today I stood beneath a frozen waterfall. That is how it is here. All nature frozen and still, suspended. Trees bowed beneath the weight of snow. But one bird sings. Oh, God knows why. After a few minutes, I looked at my watch. I'd been there an hour. Oh, sorry, not making sense. Jumped up and down, if I'm honest, in something of a panic, to get the circulation going. Oh, poor Chandra. He's a postal clerk, was, rather. But then duty makes many different demands. His Majesty's mail must get through. At night, sometimes the sky is quite perfectly clear. The moonlight on the mountains, well, you can imagine. Well, actually, I don't suppose you can. We have to warm the ink in our pens before we can write. I've stopped taking my pulse at noon, as I... Removing one's gloves is rather a chore. Is that a weakness? Oh, poor Chandra. Still, I don't think he was married. As though dying from gangrene was somehow not such a beastly business for a man who happens to be a bachelor. Yeah. So still. You've no idea. A sense of imminence. Extraordinary. As though locked in this particular place and time for a purpose, for the something that is about to happen. And then tonight, when I came to fill in my daily records, and there was, of course, a gap in the column headed pulse rate at noon, an empty space. And the notion occurred to me that I could enter a figure in that space, an, as it were, estimate, an extrapolation from previous observation in order to maintain the continuity of the chart. And I stood looking down into the abyss. I was about to lie. An act of culpable dishonesty. Major Pearson, Royal Engineers, liar. Good Lord, well, I can't send that.
Sure you wouldn't rather have coffee?
No, tea's the stuff. Far better thing.
Right.
I suppose it's safe. Philip being alone, didn't I?
Safe.
He seems rather upset, in the wrong sort of way, if you take my meaning.
He's been working very hard.
Everything all right between the two of you?
His committee is due to report soon. Ethics in medical research. Frightfully grand.
Sorry, shouldn't have asked.
Don't take sugar, do you?
Small hours of the morning makes a man talk too much.
No, it's not all right. I've been seeing someone else. Philip knows. At least I think he does. Well,
get it in the open. Thrash it out. It's the best thing. I know that for a fact from personal experience, if the truth be told.
It talks about people, about his patients, as though he hates them, as though he was... as though it's a kind of cruelty, ugly, bitter. I watch him holding on to things, furniture, the back of a chair. He doesn't seem to see it, but his knuckles are white from holding on.
No chap at Sandhurst got like that. Chucked out, of course. Square peg, never fitted. Believe he's a teacher now. Oh,
Philip.
Has anything...
She's gone.
Oh, praise be.
Yes.
Peace, at last. She had a rough time.
Oh, yes. She whispered something to me before she...
Well, you said she wouldn't. That she was too far gone.
It's extraordinary. Just shows how little we in the medical profession really know.
Philip.
I've never seen anything quite like it. Suddenly she sat bolt upright, whispered, well, not so much a whisper as a shout. I've changed the will. Every penny goes to the Halifax Brass Band.
Philip, oh. She's still alive.
Was when I left her. Run on up, you might just catch her. You're going to hit me, thump me, punch me. Come on then, Brother John. Slap me hard, thrash me till I bleed.
Contemptible.
They don't seem too keen on the idea, sir.
Got to be done. Our opponents will be relieved of their weapons in a calm and disciplined fashion.
Look like muskets and flintlocks, half of them, sir. Like something from the Civil War.
Ancient or not, a musket can kill. No point in taking chances, Captain Gifford.
That chap next to Captain Graves looks a bit reluctant, sir.
That's done it. Come on.
Sir, 13 men wounded, no officers killed or missing.
How very gratifying.
Major Dunlop had several fingers sliced right off, sir.
From which hand?
Sir?
Oh, perhaps it's of no consequence. As far as I know, he's not a man of any musical accomplishment.
No, sir.
And the enemy?
306 killed, 212 wounded, sir. Not a bad score, sir.
Score? Was there perhaps a game of rugby football played this afternoon? How extraordinary. In the heat of battle, I entirely failed to notice it.
No, sir. Permission to carry on, sir?
Yes, Captain Gifford. Run along.
Sir!
Well, James, what do you think?
But it's been rather a trying day.
Damn good work. The men were splendid.
Tell me, Robert... I'm no military tactician, nor a maker of maps, but was it necessary to pursue the enemy quite so remorselessly?
War's a nasty business, James, and I agree. A running man cut down from behind by mounted infantry is not a pretty sight, but you can't mess about. The truest mercy is to be firm and resolute. They won't meddle with us again.
Mercy? Yes, I'm sure you're right.
Gunners were magnificent. Never seen such a rate of fire. And God knows how much ammo the chaps behind the Maxims got through.
I wonder if he does.
Sorry?
As a location for a battle it was, wouldn't you agree, quite strikingly attractive. Picturesque, one might almost say.
Well, yes, I suppose. Look, James, matters to do. See you in the morning.
3rd of February, 1904. Battle at the Springs of the Crystal Eye. Our soldiers faced the Tibetan army across a block wall built in the valley floor. The Tibetan general had ordered his men not to fire, and so an uneasy calm prevailed. Captain Clark opened his sketchbook and commenced a most reliable likeness of a Tibetan soldier not 10 yards from him. Lieutenant Jones seized the opportunity to eat a sandwich. I believe the filling was beef, though I can't be sure. Several of the enemy were seen to be fingering their matchlocks in a menacing fashion, and so orders were given that they be disarmed. They, and who can bloody well blame them, resisted. A shot was fired on the Tibetan side, and battle began. Our rifles, and above all our Maxim guns, proved most effective. A withering fire was poured How odd. Poured. Like milk into a saucer. Yeah. A withering fire was poured into the enemy. The lamas had given each soldier a charm guaranteed to render the wearer invulnerable. It was a rude shock they must each have received, exclamation mark. And a finely placed one, too, if I say so myself, exclamation mark, as our bullets tore through them. Most, as they fled through our zone... Oh, and zone is very good. Of fire sank quietly down, killed by the hail of our bullets and shattered by the shrapnel. Oh, alliteration a little overdone. Decimated. Now, there's a nice, cool word. Decimated by the shrapnel of our mountain batteries. A distressing sight, but war is always cruel, however necessary it may sometimes be. Well, quite. Enemies, as the Tibetans were, not only of ourselves, but in some sense by reason of their barbarity and superstition of the human race itself. Full stop. Yeah. And one can't go around being barbarous and not expect to be sliced in half by a Maxim gun, now can one?
Hello?
Hi.
I asked you not to ring.
How's the old girl?
I'm with her now.
God, isn't that just the tiniest bit creepy? I mean, chatting to me with a half-dead old...
Richard, I can't see you. I don't want to see you.
Yes, you do.
I can't take this, Richard. This isn't the time.
This account I'm working on is awash with money, lashings of it. I can book you in. No trouble as my PA.
I have to be here.
Clients like this lot deserve ripping off.
Someone has to pay, Richard. That's one thing you've never understood. In the end, someone pays the bill.
Your husband is genetically incapable of having fun. I'm not, and neither are you. Laura.
You and I should never have happened.
I'll call again.
Richard.
You're a military man. When is the dawn?
Not long.
What hope? Synchronized watches. They often pop off just before dawn.
Is that so?
I'm drunk.
It's no excuse.
Did you hear the phone?
When?
Just a short while ago.
Yes. It rang once and then stopped.
And what do you make of that?
Fault on the line, obviously.
Fault on the line. How appropriate. My wife's reactions are lightning quick, like a fireman. One barely sufficient alarm.
I happen to be very fond of Laura.
I could have lifted the phone down here, of course, and listened. But then that would be dishonest, would it not?
Look after her, Philip. She's too good to...
I once worked in a clinic for alcoholics. Did I ever tell you?
No. No, you didn't.
It's a disease you've caught. A disease like any other.
Tosh!
Oh, the tears when they had a relapse. Never again, never ever again. It's pathetic.
A man who despises his fellow human being should not be a doctor.
What should he be? A soldier?
There are certain things I believe in. Things I believe are worth fighting for.
Let me tell you a secret, brother of mine. I've looked behind the curtain, and there's nothing there.
You're drunk. Boringly so.
How many cells make a baby?
Oh, do be quiet, Philip.
When does a globule of stuff become a human being?
God knows.
He may well do. But he doesn't come and tell us, does he? He being absent, we, the experts, must decide. 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 16 weeks. This side of the line, it's stuff you can prod about in a specimen dish. And that side, it's a human being with little hands and little feet.
You really can be quite impressively distasteful.
Then, having decided on the number of weeks, you have to choose the day. And then the time of day, say, noon, like graduation.
If you don't like the work...
12 noon, precisely, the stuff becomes a person with little hands and little feet.
Shut up, just shut up!
I've been asked to draw the maps, Brother John. But I somehow don't feel qualified. Your Mary ever had a fling?
Surely not.
She'd have to take her apron off, and I can't see her doing that. Laura has. is. But we pretend not to notice. In my work, I have dismantled the human being into its constituent parts, like a child with a toy at Christmas. And, like a child, I'm finding the toy hard to reassemble. Mind you, I have too. Had flings, I mean. We didn't notice them either. I don't sleep well. Do you? Oh, come on, John. Play ball, love a few returns.
I shall never forgive you for the way you behaved tonight. Ever.
I can't say I altogether blame you.
Philip! I'll go. Clean up before you go into her room. You look a mess.
Of course, some people regard the whole business of supply as ineffably dull.
No, no, sir.
Well, they do, so you needn't disagree.
Sorry, sir.
But the mechanics are absolutely fascinating. But take this campaign. Our lines of supply are 20 marches long. You with us, James?
Dorian? Oh, yes. Just looking.
Now, each coolie over that distance will eat the equivalent of one complete load. So at each stage, 30 coolies deliver 29 loads to be passed on. So on from stage to stage. Look, Red Shack.
Good Lord, yes.
So, the 360 loads sent up from Siliguri, only 45 reaches here.
I think one needs a special sort of brain for that kind of calculation, sir.
Meaning you haven't?
Afraid not, sir.
Of course, what we really need is coolies who don't eat.
Yes.
I'm afraid I missed the Red Shank.
Oh. Shame.
There's a lapwing, sir.
By Jove.
And yesterday, just before the scrap began, I heard larks. I swear, real English larks.
What surprised me most up here is the flowers. Speedwells, forget-me-nots, poppies, clematis.
Yes, and, oh, not primroses.
Primulas.
That's the thing.
God's splendid earth.
And what might that be, would you say?
Where?
By the black rock.
You mean the... Well, it's a...
All right, James. I think you've made your point about all that.
Forgive me riding on ahead. I do believe I can see some marigolds.
A corpse is not a comely thing. Particularly one that's been hacked about. We all know that.
Jolly hot pursuit, sir. For one of our chaps to catch one of their chaps as far on as this.
Captain Gifford, a senior officer never talks to a junior officer about another senior officer. Correct?
Yes, sir.
So what I'm about to say was never said. Understood?
Sir?
Major Pearson's behaviour has become... Well, not quite...
Pucker, sir.
The very word. I've seen it happen before. Active service can unsettle a man. Especially in a place as damn peculiar as this.
Best not to pay too much attention to it, sir. It being damn peculiar, I mean, sir.
We and the enemy happen to be sharing the same few acres of ground. But we're in different worlds. And that's as it should be. Oil and water, Captain Gifford. They don't mix.
Don't quite follow, sir.
Keep an eye on Major Pearson. There's a good chap.
Real English larks. Oaf. Popped over on a visit, had they? Real English. Oaf. Does he think Tibetan larks are unreal, made of papier-mâché, green cheese? Oaf. Stood with him, looking out over the mountains. Deep valleys, black ravines, great gashes of broken rock. Just reminds me of Aviemore, or no, perhaps it's Killiecrankie. Oaf. Birds spotting lapwings and larks, and oh, the pretty flowers. Yes. And each one blooms with a shattered, bloody corpse by its side. Oof! And I, sweating like a petty clerk, caught cooking the books, the thought of one false entry, pulse rate at noon, made me quiver. Dissolution and dishonesty. When my whole life, this whole business... I'll help Gifford with his journal. My God, I will. How to force the slaughter into measured sentences to lie in tidy copperplate. I read through the pap I filled these pages with. Almost 400 yards north of its true position. Dear God. Whole worlds of soaring rock shrunk to dots and dashes on a sheet of paper, cluck-tutting like a fussy housewife because I've marked a mountain half the size of Somerset in the wrong bloody place. Rampaging, God-breathing landscape, and me with a sextant and pencil turning it tidy as a spinster's bedroom. Each night, tucked behind barbed wire, the empty plain circled round, and the wind that cuts into your mind, and the mind that's turning dark and troubled as a poisoned lake. Tonight I must sleep. A decent sleep. I must.
This castle hath a pleasant seat.
Reminds me quite strikingly of Edinburgh, sir.
I believe the man was talking about Glamis at the time.
Which man, sir?
Shakespeare. Warwickshire man. Wrote plays.
With you now, sir.
James! How are you enjoying our days of leisure in this grubby town?
I'm only glad we took the place so easily, without loss of life.
Turning Quaker on us, James? You used to enjoy a decent set, too.
Yes, well, if you'll excuse me.
They're not saints.
I'm sorry?
This lot, your precious Tibetans.
None of us can claim to be that.
If they'd won, what do you imagine they'd have done with us? Given bandages and medicine to our wounded, as we did to theirs?
Rather doubt it, sir.
What a simple life it is you lead, Captain Gifford.
Yeah, do my best, sir.
Not that I'd fancy their medicine. Hot blood and liver of fox.
Or even a cup of their disgusting tea, sir.
We can teach them, James. We can change their lives. 6,000 people died in Lhasa from smallpox. 6,000. How many do you see walking about with goiters, hair lips and cataracts? Things we can cure.
But what if they don't want to be cured? What if they don't want to pay the price?
What do you think the Russians would do if they got in? Or the Chinese?
I don't know.
Someone's got to bring them into the 20th century. For their own good, it had better be us. You've seen the room in the temple here, full of severed heads. Is that, or is it not, a barbarous sight?
Yes.
And the peasant who stole from a temple in Lhasa. Did you hear about him? 200 lashes, James, till the bones in his back were bare.
Our own navy.
Or the old man who helped a foreigner get inside the forbidden city. The high priest found out. They tied his hands behind his back, and they beat him till he died. They took his servants, gouged out their eyes, cut off their hands and feet and left them in the gutter to die, writhing and blind.
Most unpleasant.
We're a force for good, James. Never doubt it.
But they have other things.
Look, it's going to be quiet for weeks till we make the push on Lhasa. Get about. See the countryside while the weather's decent. Snap out of it.
Don't touch me. God's sake.
Sorry, old man.
The valley road to Shigatse is good for a jaunt, sir. Reminded me rather of East Anglia.
Stop off and see the hermitage and ask yourself, what sort of god can it be that they serve?
30th of April, 1904. Hermitage of the happy musing upon misery. The cells of the monks cut into rock, the door of each cell sealed. A small aperture the size of a pocket handkerchief closed by a folding door left for the passing of food. A parcel of parched grain placed each day on a narrow ledge beneath the folding door. Inside the cell is darkness. A channel cut into the rock serves for a sewer. I stood outside. The man beyond the sealed door, perhaps 4 or 5 feet from me, had been in the cell for 20 years, 5 months, and 4 days, the date of his entombment being carefully recorded. The attendant monk made 3 soft taps, the signal for food. silence. And then the folding door opened. A hand reached from inside the cell. The hand was gloved. The glove was stained and in places threadbare. The hand reached across the length of the narrow ledge. There was no parcel of grain, this not being the appointed time. The attendant monk had made the signal for food, that I might see the hand. I saw that the fingers within the threadbare glove trembled. I stood in sunlight on the warm earth, and felt in some unknown place inside me the need to reach out and take this frail hand in my own. But I could not move. I heard the sound of the sigh the man gave as his hand found that the narrow ledge was empty, and for one moment I lost myself and became the man inside the cell. My eyes open in darkness, my bleached limbs cold against the rock. I felt my heart stop and the hairs on my scalp rise, for I did not know which wrenched my soul the more, to be the man inside the cell or the man outside in the light of day who wished to take him by the hand. All lands have become strange, all maps useless. I have crossed a frontier.
That's that, then.
Shouldn't one of us say a few words?
You mean a sort of after-dinner speech?
Noxious little...
Be quiet, both of you.
I meant a prayer.
She sacked the vicar. Talked about death, and she didn't like the sound of that, did you, ma'am?
Get out, Philip. Just get out.
Thought it didn't apply to her. Thought she was a special case. But then... don't we all? Anyone fancy a glass of champagne? Or is that not quite...
We shouldn't be in this room.
At least when people are dead, you don't have to lie to them.
Come downstairs.
Doctors do a lot of lying. Their patients expect it. Yes, Mrs. Jones, of course your son will lead a normal life.
Really?
No, Miss Smith, it may prove only partly fatal.
Hold my hand.
Oh, yes, let's all hold hands. Makes us all feel...
There.
Better.
The other one.
Much, much better. Aura.
There.
I'll go downstairs.
Yes.
Right.
I'm going to leave.
You know it's finished. It's all over. There's no one else.
I don't care. Not that, anyway. Just had enough.
Enough of what?
Just get out before I start hitting patients.
But why?
Don't believe in it.
In what?
What I'm doing.
Caring for people, helping them, making them better.
Can't hardly bear to touch. Just grab my hands, feel of... Oh, it's like stomach ache. Wanting to be sick. Throw up!
When the report is finished...
Who the hell do we... The ethics in medical research.
Please don't shout.
Sat round a polished table, thrashing out a compromise about between breaks for coffee. Like a wrangle over wages. Right and wrong in numbered paragraphs.
Ordinary human decency tells you what is
right. And where does that exist? Hmm? Do tell me. The frontier changes so very quickly.
But if people like you give up...
There's no choice. I've crossed over. Not inside myself.
You could see Dr. Samuels.
And what would he tell me? That I was in love with my mother? There's a joke.
What you do in your work and on that committee is necessary. There have to be controls on what's happening. There have to be decisions about what doctors and scientists can and cannot do.
Shuffle the pack. Pick a card. Any set of words will do. Well, not me. Had enough.
Thank you.
Reminds me rather of the Roman Mars.
Such a fresh perspective you bring to all you see, Captain Gifford.
Ah, thank you, sir.
So, you're a Roman Catholic.
Good Lord, no. I mean, no, sir.
Our padres on this expedition are a fine body of men, shall they not?
Oh, absolutely, sir. Muck in with the best.
I'm thinking of joining up myself.
But you... you already are, sir. A regular officer, I mean, sir.
The clergy. Think I'd look well as a bishop, don't you?
Just as you say, sir.
It takes a special kind of man to be the representative of Christ on a military expedition. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes, sir. He's got to be tough.
As nails, Captain Gifford. And to have a severed mind.
Yes, sir. Says he wants to be a bishop, sir.
A bishop?
Thinks he'd cut rather a dash in the outfit, sir.
I see.
And then he quite often stops.
Stops?
Quite suddenly. Stock still. As though he's looking for something. Or waiting for something to arrive.
Anything else?
He thinks I'm an RC, sir.
Oh. Major Pearson is an old friend and has served his country honourably and well. Don't want him to slip through our fingers, do we?
Sir?
One step is all it takes. One moment's cowardice or dishonesty.
Oh, I don't think he'd ever do anything.
Or doubt. And a man's career is ruined. If we decide he's in danger of taking that step, we'd have to protect him. Wouldn't we, Captain Gifford?
Yes, sir.
For his own good.
Tibetan attack. We scurry like ants in a nest kicked open by a passing schoolboy. Fixed smiles, brave under fire, and the silent sky above us. Light-headed, as though drunk on country wine. I raise my eyes above the smoke from the guns to the mountains. Great cloud shapes pass across them. Their colour changes with the passage of the sun. Blue is the sea when the dawn breaks, and in the dusk, scarlet as a blacksmith's fire. An eagle glides above us, like a god, the shallow arch of his wings scarcely moving. A letter has arrived from home. I leave it unopened. I am the drunkard. All bonds with the tidy world broken. Debts, duties, and responsibilities lost in the folds of my battered clothes. My mind unburdened, finding focus only on falls of light on distant hills, or the pattern of my vomit on a broken wall.
James, for God's sake!
Sorry?
Get your head down! What the hell are you playing at?
Can't hear a thing, old chap. I've got a letter from home.
Read the bloody thing on the cover.
Apparently the Delphiniums are very good this year. Miss Todd's arthritis is a little worse. Miss Metcalf is to be married. And dear, oh dear, Hugo's failed his Latin grammar.
Damned if I'm coming up there to pull you down.
See how the bullets miss me. A man risked in the Marylebone Road.
Don't creep it about, you want to get killed.
We are invincible. Resistance is futile. See, letters come from Oxfordshire, across oceans, over mountains. I might read that Miss Todd's arthritis worsens, and that in the garden of the Glebe Cottage, Banbury, the delphiniums bloom and grow. No nation can withstand an empire whose distant armies are so well informed.
Get your head down!
Lead kindly, light.
Well.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
Perhaps something more feminine.
Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Yes, one so often hears it at weddings, doesn't one?
Take your point.
To be honest, I don't think any of it meant much to her.
Well, best to do the thing properly. Sometimes it's the...
telephone.
Now, who could that be?
I'll answer it.
I'll scurry away.
There's no need. I have nothing to hide.
A woman should keep her secrets, Laura. I shall go and place pennies on Mother's eyes.
Hello?
I'll Laura? Be in the kitchen.
Laura?
Richard.
Can you talk?
No other man I've met would do this.
You know me, you don't need much sleep.
Ring at yourself.
I have the gift of energy.
With an old lady dead upstairs.
Death doesn't matter, Laura.
No?
No, it's life that counts.
I see.
I have a guiding principle, one I may well have mentioned before. The world is there. It's ours for the taking. There's no one to stop us. Easy.
It's finished, Richard. For good.
You said that before, and you've always come back. Because I can give you what your angst-ridden husband can't. Life.
I can't just work.
There are winners and there are losers. Philip's a loser. For him, life is a pain because he can't handle it.
We've come a long way together.
You may have come a long way, Laura, but on different roads, believe me.
Please don't call me, Richard.
I'll get onto the airline today. I know the guy who
I'll see you when you get back. We'll talk then. Goodbye.
Doctor says it's a flesh wound.
Robert, how kind of you to visit.
Which is a piece of luck you do not deserve. Whatever possessed you?
Here, if you die, they carry your body up to the mountain.
You're not going to die. I've just said the doctor...
They have butchers whose job it is to slice you up. It makes it easy for the vultures.
Damn lucky not to be on a charge.
Better than a coffin. You know something, Robert?
What?
I don't like my son.
For God's sake!
No, really, really, I don't. He's only 14, but he's narrow-minded and pompous, just like his father.
Get a grip, James. We're a long way from home, and we can't afford to have any passengers. Understood?
A job to do?
Exactly so.
You never had children, did you?
No.
Yeah, isn't that strange? All the years I've known you, we've never...
It's all a long time ago.
Does it ever occur to you that the job we do might actually be unnecessary, in fact, positively harmful?
No, it doesn't. I'm a soldier on His Majesty's service, and my conscience is clear.
Or we're still comical, absurd.
We're at war, and war is no time for drawing-room discussions of right and wrong.
I'd have thought it was just the time.
And self-indulgent rot about the absurdity of life.
Now they, of course, I mean, our enemy... believe that the actions you do follow you forever. Every deed has its consequent effect, sure and inescapable. I'd rather go along with that.
Don't muck about, James. You're an Englishman. You can't change. You can't be anything else. We have a duty.
What?
A sacred duty to bring civilization. Don't laugh at me.
You remind me of someone I once... Well, something I once said.
We may make mistakes. Any army, any country in the world makes mistakes, but by and large, we behave in a way that is just and decent. Of course, what we build is imperfect, that's in the nature of things, but good men, and a great many of them, have worked for it and believe in it.
But if a man, a good man, for some reason ceased to believe...
I could have died on any one of a dozen campaigns. I may die tomorrow, or in 10 years' time, with a spear in my back or a bullet in my head, but if I die believing...
You'll be happy.
Yes! Which is why, to see you dancing about in the middle of an enemy bombardment for no good reason made me so bloody angry.
Well, that's just it, Robert. I don't see a good reason. No good reason at all.
Capture of the fort at Guyancy. One of our men was killed. 119 less than the enemy. Not a bad score, as Captain Gifford would say. We are encamped outside the Forbidden City. No words. As well throw jugs of water at the ocean. The place is, and is beyond words. We are children on a camping trip. Gifford has organized sports for the men, track races and trials of strength. He watches me. The Holy Rose, which encircles the city, is 7 miles in circumference. A pilgrim makes the circuit 7 times. He lies face down upon it, and then stands, and then lies down once more, each time progressing forwards by the length of his own body. How many tens of thousands of times must his face be pressed to the earth? My mind has valleys and jagged peaks I never dreamed of. And each night I lie down exhausted from the breathless, headlong journey I tread between them. Soon I shall soar like an eagle.
There he is, sir.
What in God's name?
425.
Get up, man. You look a damn fool.
I tried to stop him, sir.
400. Stop it, James.
I hardly begun.
Look at the state of your uniform.
I thought the sports were most successful, Captain Gifford.
Pull him out of sight. Come on.
Two soldiers pillow fighting on a greasy pole. Really spectacular. And the egg and spoon race.
Shut up, James.
How the poor simple-minded Tibetans must have thrilled at that, eh?
Sit there or by God I'll...
Colonel Mortimer's wife ran off with a grocer, did you know?
You...
While Colonel Mortimer was knocking natives about in a foreign land. It was a small price to pay. That the Empire be maintained. A slap, Robert, is a most unmanly blow.
Then try this.
How about a bucket of water, sir? Call the fire brigade. Man on fire.
James, listen to me. You're not well. You're sick. You need help. We are your friends. We shall give you the help you need. Do you understand?
Yes. Yes, you can let me go.
No one need know. Your duties will be done by other officers. You can rest. You are ill, and illness can happen to anyone.
I know why.
Well, what do you know, James?
It's because our guns are better than their guns. As simple as that.
We'll go inside.
I mean, take this, for instance.
James?
A service revolver. Splendid piece of work.
Give it to me, James.
A sound all of its own. A sound to gladden the hearts of Englishmen. A sound to...
I had to hit him, sir. I had to.
Sentry at the door. But I shall leave. A strange man I am now. Neither fish nor fowl. I have in my mind a forgotten language. Oxfordshire. Home. Shadow words. I'm just not, nor ever have been, in the right place. And that, for a maker of maps, is unforgivable.
The sun rises, and so they sing. Simple.
You're not thinking of showing this to anyone else, are you?
He escaped. On the night of that last entry. They never found him.
I just don't feel there's any purpose to be served by anyone else knowing.
I wonder how long he stayed alive.
Of course, wouldn't happen these days. Chap goes round the twist.
You think he was mad?
Well, obviously.
Is it mad to walk out on something that you no longer believe in?
Well, depends what it is you leave behind. And whether it's your fault you no longer believe.
Fault? Now there's an odd word.
Old-fashioned, perhaps. It's to do with taking responsibility for what you are and for what you do. It's your fault, Philip, if you don't believe in your work anymore. It's your failing. Because the work you do is good and valuable.
But I have no authority. I have no right to decide on matters of life and death. No sanction and no right.
Well, someone has to do it. Someone has to decide and then to act upon what they decide. To fight and work for what they believe to be right.
I see. And what does that process achieve, apart from a great many dead Tibetans?
Oh, rubbish.
I've looked behind the curtain, brother of mine. There's nothing there.
So you give up. Is that the answer? Leave the whole process to someone else? You're a decent man, Philip. You're intelligent, you're sensitive, and you're honourable.
Honourable?
Yes. And what's to happen in the world if decent and honourable men no longer have the courage and the strength of mind to act upon what they believe? If you abdicate, who takes your place? Tell me that.
Well, perhaps I'm simply round the twist. Like the Mad Major.
You should take a holiday. both of you, you and Laura, together.
Missing in action, believed killed. A brave and gallant officer. You always did prefer the official version. Oh, Laura, my dear wife.
How do you feel?
I will find my place. I am a Pearson after all.
Please, Philip, I'm tired.
So am I. Sorry about everything.
That's all right.
Get some sleep, then sort things out.
I'll hang on to this, shall I? The manuscript, I mean.
Oh, yes, yes, do. No earthly use to me. I watched the great brown swirl of the river and considered the journey upon which we are about to embark. Not in death as pagans, but as Christians in the fullness of life, and not carried to the sea, but marching to the north, to the Himalayas, and beyond to the secret kingdom of Tibet. I, a traveller with conscience clear, with luggage purposefully chosen, my destination certain, my faith secure.
Philip, turn it off. Please, your nearest. Oh, for goodness sake. Philip? Philip, where are you?
That was Journeys to the Frontier by Matthew Solon. Peter Jeffrey was Major James Pearson, with Janet Moore as Laura and Jack Shepherd as Philip. Geoffrey Whitehead was Robert Mortimer, with Michael Tudor Barnes as John, Christopher Good as Richard, and Matthew Solon as Captain Gifford. Other parts were played by Ian Mickey. The director was Janet Whittaker.
And now a look ahead to the play next Saturday night. A Mystery by Aldous Huxley, and a big hit in London's West End in 1948. Now on Radio 4 with Peter Bowles, Philip Latham and Judy Lowe. The Gioconda Smile.
Guess what Henry has brought back from Cornwall, Dr. Libard?
Well, what does one bring back from Cornwall?
It's alive.
Alive?
It's a mammal.
Janet.
Well, isn't it?
A mammal.
A wife. I'd better go and see to father.
Henry Hutton takes a new wife shortly after the death of his first, and in the Gioconda Smile, suspicion starts to stir.
It's not my place to say anything, but if you ask me, I think it's disgusting.
He told me he'd known her several months.
How do we know he didn't have to marry her? He gets her in trouble, and then he has to get her out again.
And if Emily hadn't died just when she did, just at the right moment.
Just at the right moment. Miss Spence.
Aldous Huxley's tense mystery about people driven by passion, where the line between love and hate is worn thin.
Oh, Henry, why did you do it? Why did you do it?
Why did I do it? You all seem to take it for granted that I murdered my wife. First as the coroner, did I put anything into Emily's medicine? Then old Johnson cuts me dead in the street outside the court.
Henry.
I suppose you imagined I was so insanely in love that I'd do anything to get you.
Oh,
anything,
it's not
anything.
Like that.
It's about time women realized.
I don't know why the devil
I ever married you. Why any man in his right mind ever married any woman for that matter. I've had enough.
Oh, no, Henry. Henry, please don't go. Henry! He's left me.
A question of honour and innocence. Peter Bowles, Philip Latham and Judy Lowe star in The Gioconda Smile on Radio 4. And that starts at 7:45 next Saturday night.